back when I was in business, I was in the machine tool business. Our company was a member of the Association for Manufacturing Technology, and the association would gather executives from companies in our industry from all over the country and have an annual meeting and have a conference to talk over things related to the industry and things about life and all of that, and it's always at this some really beautiful place. And so one year they were holding the meeting in Kauai, which is one of the Hawaiian islands. So Elizabeth and I thought we should probably attend that meeting because conference, because learning, right? So we went, you know, for business reasons. And one of the side activities they offered and that we took advantage of was a Zodiac boat ride. How many of you know what a Zodiac boat is? Of course Sam knows, a couple of us. It's a pretty small boat that holds about maybe a dozen or so people. It has a rigid hull, and around the outside it's inflated. It's like a big inflated tube all around the outside. And when you get in the Zodiac boat, you don't sit on seats in the boat. You're sitting on the edge of the boat, on these inflatable edge. And so we're out there in the Pacific Ocean on this little boat with about a dozen of us. You know, the ocean is just massive. And you got this little boat. And the waves are just really high. I was totally not prepared for that. Didn't know what that was going to look like. I don't think any of us had any idea what that was going to be like. So we're going way up in the air on these waves and crashing down into the ocean, and the waves are splashing into the boat, and we're hanging on for absolute dear life. It seemed like forever. And your life is flashing before your eyes as you're out there in this serious heavy waves, and it was pretty frightening. But oh so fun, right? I don't know how many, probably, I think it was at least half of the people got very sick. But we didn't realize it at the time that our business and our lives were going to hit some really big waves, and we were going to start taking on serious water in just a few years. And Jesus took his disciples on a rough and frightening ride in a boat also. And they were also hanging on for dear life, and Jesus was teaching them. So if you brought your Bible, please turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 35 to 41 this morning. We'll read the text in a minute. But let's first have an understanding of the scene. What's going on in this scene? Jesus has been ministering in the northern part of Israel in the village of Capernaum. And in chapter 4, verse 1, Mark says this. He says, "Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land." So here the sea is the Sea of Galilee. And they call it a sea out of tradition, but it really was just like a fairly large lake. It's a pretty big lake. And so because of the size of the crowd, Jesus wouldn't have been able to be heard from these people crushing in all around him. So he got into a boat and he pushed off a little bit off the shore, and he was able to teach and be heard. And he's teaching them about the kingdom of God through a series of parables. He's teaching them about the parable of the sower of the seeds, and the parable of a lamp under a basket, the parable of the seed growing, the parable of the mustard seed. And we looked at those parables over the last few weeks. And we're not told how long Jesus was out there teaching these people, but it must have been a pretty good while. Verse 33 says, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." So we come to verse 35. Let's look at our text for today. "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So Mark says the day was pretty much over. The ministry teaching activity had been concluded, and it was evening. So Jesus wanted to go across the other side of the lake. He says he took him with them in the boat just as he was. So Jesus had probably finished teaching and either stayed in the same boat he was in or got into the boat that the other disciples were in without going ashore. They left just as he was, it says. So no time to rest, no time to clean up, no time to get a bite to eat, find a restroom, what have you. They just set out across the lake just as he was. The Galilean fishing boats that they got into were not all that big. These boats were probably about 27 feet long and maybe 7 to 8 feet wide, maybe about 4 feet high, maybe smaller than a typical school bus in length. And they could hold maybe about 15 people, and they weren't the most maneuverable kind of boats to be sailing in. They were a bit hard to steer. And Mark says that there were other boats with them, so we don't know if it was maybe the other disciples who had another boat and they were out there as well, or who was out there, we don't know. But a great windstorm arose as they were sailing across this lake. And violent storms were not uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. The sea sits 700 feet below sea level. It's the deepest freshwater lake on earth. And it's situated among hills and mountains on all sides, except on the south side, which is more open. And the warm air from the lake would mix with the cold air and the winds from the mountains. And it was not uncommon for a pretty violent storm to just kick up pretty fast. Warren Wiersbe tells the story of crossing the Sea of Galilee and asked his Israeli tour guide if he'd ever been in a storm like that, in this parable. And he said, "Oh yes, I certainly have, and I would never want to be in one like it again." So the fierce windstorm arises, it starts howling, it's blowing the boat, it's kicking up big waves, and the waves are crashing over the side of the boat, and the boat's starting to fill with water. And it must have been a pretty violent storm, because these are experienced fishermen, and they've been in storms, and they were starting to panic. Somehow Jesus is asleep on the back of the boat. And when they couldn't handle it anymore, they go up to their Lord and wake him up and say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That's a pretty strong thing to say to the Son of God, I would say. But it's real. These guys were getting desperate. And I'm sure you and I have been tempted to say things like that to the Lord sometimes. They're getting desperate and they're looking for a little help here. So did Jesus care? Do you not care, Jesus, that we're in this big storm? Did Jesus care? Yeah, Jesus cared. But he wasn't concerned. There's a difference. He knew that they would arrive at the other side, and what happened in the meantime didn't concern him. And we'll get to that in a minute. So Jesus wakes up, and it says that he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In verse 37, Mark calls it a great windstorm, and at Jesus' command, there was a great calm. And Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? why are you so afraid? And the disciples are thinking, because there was a terrifying storm just a minute ago, and we were taken on water, and we might have drowned. Have you still no faith? Ouch. Apparently not. I can sort of empathize with the disciples. That would have been pretty frightening. But they had personally witnessed Jesus healing masses of people from sicknesses. They had witnessed Jesus casting out demons out of people who were possessed. I mean, you might think they would have understood that Jesus could handle this too. And not only were they afraid of the storm, after he calmed it in verse 41, it says that they were filled with great fear. You would think they would be filled with great relief. But they were filled with fear because they were in the presence of Jesus at the moment. They feared for their lives a minute ago in the strong winds and big waves, and they were delivered from the danger by somebody right next to them who had more power than the strong winds and the strong waves and had authority over them. He was mightier than the wind and the waves. Who could do that but God? Their fear in the presence of God himself exceeded the fear of the storm. The disciples were afraid kind of a lot with Jesus as you look through the rest of the gospel. Afraidy disciples said they were terrified at the transfiguration when they saw Jesus in his glory. In chapter 9, it says they were afraid and trembling at the resurrection of Jesus in verse 16, and fearful in other situations. They were afraid. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They didn't understand it quite yet. They had seen a lot of things from Jesus, and they're going to see more things from Jesus. But they wouldn't fully grasp Jesus' nature and Jesus' identity until after the resurrection. And he opened their eyes. So that's the scene. We need to remember that with Jesus, ordinary things and ordinary events often carry very deep theological meaning. He talks about birds and fig trees and mustard seeds and storms. And he was a master teacher, and he would explain very deep truths with very ordinary things, like storms. So that's the scene. So let's make a few observations about what's going on here. Number one, the first observation I would make is that it was Jesus who directed them to cross the lake. It was Jesus who directed them to cross the lake. It wasn't the disciples' idea. It wasn't the devil's idea. It wasn't somebody else's idea. Jesus was leading the ministry agenda. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across the lake to the other side. And he here is Jesus. Second observation is this. Jesus knew the storm would come. Jesus knew the storm would come. Well, how do you know that? It doesn't say that. Because Jesus is God the Son. And when the Son of God took on flesh at the incarnation, he did not set aside his divine nature. He took on flesh, but Jesus is still omniscient in his deity. In his deity, Jesus knows everything. He knows things that have happened and things that are going to happen. Jesus knew the storm was going to come, and he sent them straight into it. Far too many Christians believe, either consciously or unconsciously, that becoming a Christian should involve the end of suffering and pain and discomfort and trouble. That their life should be easier and worry-free, and all our kids are going to be godly and go on to become missionaries. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but that is nowhere in Scripture. You are not promised that. In fact, God promised just the opposite. And yes, there are blessings all around us as believers in Christ, blessings beyond measure, right? As believers, we are blessed. But he doesn't sweep us out of the world at the time of our salvation and usher us into bliss. You will experience persecution and hardship and suffering and illness in this world because this world is fallen, because we live among sinners, and because Jesus is a master teacher. Jesus knew the storm was coming. Third observation, and this is very important. Jesus was with them in the storm. Jesus was with them in the storm. He didn't say, hey, you guys go ahead across that lake. I'll see you tomorrow sometime, maybe after the storm is over. I'll catch up with you. No, he was in the boat. He directed them across the sea, and he went with them. He sailed straight into the dangerous storm with them in the boat. And when the winds kicked up, when the waves started to get high, they were crashing on the boat, they were filling with water, he was right there with them. He didn't make them go it alone. He didn't leave them when things were getting dangerous. And when you sail into a storm, you need to know that Jesus is right there with you. He is in the boat with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. In Matthew 28, after Jesus resurrected and he's with his disciples and he's giving them their marching orders, he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, and then he gives them this massive promise. He gives you this massive promise. He says to them, and he says to you, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Have we reached the end of the age yet? The answer is no. He is always with you. He didn't say, I'll be with you until I ascend to the Father. He didn't say, I'll be with you until the end of the disciples' first lives, the first disciples' lives there. If you are a disciple of Christ, he is with you always, even to the end of the age. We read in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man or storms do to me? God told Israel through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Author Christopher Hall summarized the teaching of Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers. He said, God does not leave us alone in life's struggles and trials, but has willingly entered into the arena with us in the incarnation of the Son, becoming what we are, identifying with us in our suffering, providing us with an example of how to respond to our trials, and supplying us with the essential supernatural power we need to triumph in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you never go through the storm alone. The Spirit of Jesus goes with you every time, and he's not just passively watching you. He's giving you grace to go through it. He's giving you grace to persevere and stand up under the weight of it. He's interceding for you. He's hearing your prayers. He's giving you strength to endure. He's deepening your faith. He is always with you. Never forget that. No matter what your flesh and your feelings might start trying to tell you. Fourth observation. Jesus fully trusted in his Father in the storm. Jesus fully trusted in his Father in the storm. What was Jesus' reaction to the disciples? He rebuked them for their lack of faith. They were terrified. Quite a few times in the Gospel of Mark, Mark describes fear as the opposite of faith. You'll see this over and over in Mark. One of the most often repeated commands in the scripture is, do not fear. Fear not. Jesus didn't fear the storm like the disciples did. He knew it was the will of God for them to reach the other side of the lake. And Jesus fully trusted that his Father would get him to the other side. That was the will of God. He was so confident in his Father that he took a nap in the middle of it. His soul was so at peace and at rest because of his faith in his Father that he could snooze in the middle of the storm. You see the contrast between the great fear of the disciples and the great faith of the Lord. Jesus knew about the wind and the waves, but he didn't fix his eyes on the wind and the waves and fret about it. He fixed his eyes on the goodness and faithfulness of his Father, and he's teaching you and I to fix our eyes on Jesus and walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. When we ride through the storm with our eyes firmly fixed on the abiding presence and the goodness and the faithfulness and the love and the mercy and care of Jesus, we can have peace in our souls even when the wind and the waves are rocking our world. Fifth observation. Jesus has sovereign authority over creation. Jesus has sovereign authority over creation. Through this miracle over the natural world, Jesus clearly demonstrated his divinity. By calming the waves, Jesus did what only God can do. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Psalm 65, by awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. Calming storms is the realm and the work of God Almighty. And Jesus calmed the storm. He was the agent of creation, and he spoke the universe into existence out of nothing with just a word. And he created the wind and the waves with his words, and he can calm them also with his words. He has the authority over them, and they must obey him. It's no trouble for Jesus to calm the wind and the waves on a lake or in your life. No trouble. Doesn't even break a sweat. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. No situation is hopeless. And he can and he often will calm the waves in his timing, according to his perfect will. But not always. Sometimes the waves persist and the winds will howl. This Jesus who is walking with you is the divine and all-powerful and all-loving Son of God. Sixth observation. Jesus had a purpose for the storm. Jesus had a purpose for the storm. More than one purpose. This wasn't just some random storm event because the weather conditions were right at the time. Jesus intended to use this storm for at least two reasons, and we just saw one of them, to clearly communicate that he is divinely sovereign over the natural world, over creation. Clearly communicate he is sovereign over the natural world. He's already demonstrated that he's divinely sovereign over sickness and sovereign over demons. He healed masses of people of sicknesses and cast out many demons. Now he's teaching them he is sovereign over the natural world. Jesus is God the Son. And number two, he intended to deepen his disciples' faith. He intended to deepen his disciples' faith. He intended to bolster and strengthen their faith and our faith in him as Lord of all creation and the promised Messiah. He's saying, I want you to trust me. When I tell you to go to the other side, I'll get you there. When I make a promise to you, I can keep it and I will keep it. I have the power to keep every promise I make to you, no matter how fantastic the promise may seem to you. I have the power to carry you through any trial. And when I tell you I will rise from the dead, believe me. And when I tell you I have forgiven you and will carry you all the way to eternal life, believe me. Jesus was teaching and discipling his disciples through the storm. Here's something we all need to remember. Jesus, like the disciples, when God saves your soul, he enrolls you in discipleship school. You're enrolled. It's the grace of God. When you repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior, God starts working on your character to build your character, to be more like Jesus, and to build your faith. He's deepening your faith so you can weather the storms of life that come along in your life, whatever they are. He's helping you to grow your faith roots very deep so you won't be blown over when the winds pick up. This is the grace of God in your life. He's growing your character so you'll be more like his son Jesus. He's using all the circumstances in your life to teach you and to grow you. He is the master teacher. Jesus cared for his disciples, and it's because he cared for them that he enrolled them in faith school. You don't grow a muscle unless you work and exercise that muscle. You don't fire the coach because he puts the athletes through tough drills and training to grow their skills and their conditioning. And your faith doesn't grow unless your faith is tested. God always has a purpose for the storm. God is always working in your life to grow your character and your faith. So, what's the grand lesson in this miraculous incident? What should you walk away with this morning from this text? Well, it's really a very simple thought, but so important for every day of your life. The grand lesson is this: trust God in the storm. Trust God in the storm. Storms will come. They always do. And your storms might look different than the ones that someone else goes through. But the storms are coming. You might lose your job. Some of you have. You might get very sick. You might lose a loved one. One or more of your children might walk away from the faith. And your boat will start rocking hard. And the waves may crash over the side. But when the storm comes, do not shrink in fear. Fear is natural, it's human, but fear is the opposite of faith, says Mark. Yes, deal with the storm, take care of the things that need to be taken care of, but in the storm, fix your eyes on Jesus. Walk by faith and not by fear. Well, how do you do that? Sounds like a good plan, but how do you do that? Well, first, entrust your situation to the Lord of the storm. Entrust your situation to the Lord of the storm. He knows what he's doing. take your cares to Jesus and pray often, pray a lot. I don't think very many of us pray a lot. Peter said, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We looked at Philippians 4, 5 through 7 a few weeks ago. I mentioned it. It says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about it. Look at the connection between the presence of God, thanksgiving and prayer, and peace. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And remind yourself of what's true. Remind yourself of what is true. As weary as your soul may get, never stop preaching the truth to yourself. What's true? God loves me. Still does in this storm. God cares for me, and he's for me. He's beside me, he's behind me, and he's cheering me on. God is at work in me, doing important things. God's promises are true. I am never alone in the storm. God is walking with me through it all, every moment of it. God is giving me grace, even now, to be able to walk in victory and joy and peace. Jesus is interceding for me right now. Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. No tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or storm. You have to do this. Why? Because the devil is going to tell you lies. He's going to tell you, God is mad at me. God doesn't care about me. God has abandoned me. Don't listen to lies. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is wise. God loves you, and he knows what he's doing in your life. And as you preach the truth to yourself, God will use his word by his Spirit to replace the fear in your heart as you're going through it with peace and rest. Your faith will be tested, and that's good. It deepens us. It softens us to our own need and to the needs of others. The water started filling up the boat of our business, family business, after 41 years. Conditions happened so that we had to actually close it and end the careers of dozens of people and end our careers. And it was the biggest storm that I've ever gone through, the most stress I've ever been in. And at the same time, we found out that Elizabeth had a tumor that in her ovary that was possibly cancerous and needed to go right into surgery. So the wind and the waves were kicking up really strong all at once. And we were tested. Some of you know our story. And it's at that time when the question is asked of you, okay, now what do you believe about God right now? While you're going through this, what do you believe is true? And because we had good, faithful teaching here and other places, we were prepared for the storm. Our roots were deep enough to handle it. Now, did we struggle? Yeah, we struggled, but we prayed, and we believed, and we trusted God. And God gave us peace in the middle of it. And there was stress, and there was peace, and we could sleep and get rest. And we knew that God could handle this. And we knew that God would get us through to the other side, no matter what. Who knows what it would have looked like, but we knew God could get us through the storm. And he did. As hard as that was, I don't think I would ever trade that experience. It's an experience like that where you go, you know what? God is so faithful. He got us through that. He can get us through anything. That's one of the huge values of a big storm like that. You keep looking back on it. God is faithful. He was really faithful then. I can get through this. Don't despise the storm. They'll come, small ones and big ones, now or later. You might be in a Category 4 or 5 storm right now. And your storm may only last a day. It may last a month or a year. And God may, in his will and in his mercy, he may calm the waves and the wind. Or your storm may last the rest of your life. But if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can be absolutely sure that Jesus will get you to the other side. It may be that he won't get you to the other side until he finally welcomes you into heaven with loving eyes and a big smile and wide open arms and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy of your master. Until then, trust in the Lord of the storm. In a minute, we're going to sing an awesome song, "Christ the Sure and Steady Anchor." I want you to sing it with faith. I want you to sing it with confidence and with conviction. Let it minister to your soul. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Lord of the storm, that you do all that you do out of love, out of goodness, out of mercy, out of wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that you always love us. Thank you for the glory of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel to save souls. And Lord, I pray that if there are those who are listening this morning who do not know you as Savior, would you reveal yourself in a powerful way to them? Draw them to yourself. May they trust you and only you for their salvation and repent of their sin. Because the ultimate storm we would face is judgment. But thank you, Lord, that Jesus took that judgment for us in our place. Thank you, Lord, that you always go with us through the storm. You are always interceding for us and strengthening us. Be glorified in our lives, Lord, as we trust you. Give us the strength to trust you and to walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.